I love a Rami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayim. It's one of my favorite parts in any Parsha. One of my favorite Divrei Torah of all time is regarding these words. Happens to be just one of my favorite things altogether. So in the beginning of the Parsha, you come to the land where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and you sit there. You take from the fruit of the land that you brought from your land and you bring it in a basket. You go to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to put his name there. You come to the Kohen and you say, I am now telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I brought this from the land, etc., etc. Then it says, you take from the basket, he takes the basket, the Kohen takes the basket from your hand, place it in front of the Mizbeach of Hashem Elokecha, V'anisa V'amarta, and you will call out, Rashi says, B'kol Rom, with a loud voice, you call out loud and you say, L'fnei Hashem Elokecha, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan Ha'arami, Lavan the trickster, made my father was out, he destroyed my father Yaakov Avinu, Vayered Mitzrayim, and they went down to Mitzrayim. And then afterward, Bnei Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. The question is obvious, what does Arami Oved Avi have anything to do with any of that? Number one. Number two, what does it mean by Yered Mitzrayim? Other than they went down to Mitzrayim. What's the connection between those? What?
Who is
that? Arami, Lavan. You may have heard them before. Good old Lavan, the father of Rachel and Leah, the sister, the brother of Rivka. Yeah, we're going to talk about who this Arami is exactly, but that's going to be the whole thing today. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Matzkir Chazdei HaMakom. What we're doing is, when we bring our Bikurim, we're thanking God for the fruits that He gave us. We're also mentioning the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arami Oved Avi. Lavan Bikesh Lakor Zekol. Lavan wanted to destroy the entire world. Kishorot HaHachar Yaakov, when he chased after Yaakov. And because he wanted to do it, God made it as if he did it. That's why it says, Obed, continuously trying to destroy my father. Because by Goyim, any thought that they have that's evil is considered as if they did a deed, as if they did it in that itself. That's what Rashi says. That's the idea behind this idea of Arami Oved Avi. I'm sorry? Yeah, no, 100%. But this is a pretty evil thought, to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. And this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechashed, the Machshava L'Maaseh, what? The same exact thing by Bill. That Bill wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm going to see that that's what happened by Lavan. It's not just an automatic thought. It has to be something that actually goes, you know, almost into the realm of plotting and imagining what you could do in order to get there. That's where it already becomes bad. The Ibn Ezra, the Chizkuni, the Sforno say that Yaakov is the Arami, not Lavan. That Yaakov was almost lost when he went down to Lavan, and that was the problem when he went to the Aramean people. And they say because Oved is off, because what does it mean that Oved, he lost, the wording is off. The Horshor and the Rashbam say is referring to Avram Avinu. But the main shot that the Midrashim give is that Lavan is the Arami. And here's the Chidah. He quotes the Sifri. The Sifri says the following, that Lo Yorad Yaakov Elo Oved. That's a weird wording. It sounds like the following. Yaakov went down to Lavan. He went to the Aramean people in order to destroy himself. That's a weird wording. What does that mean he went down in order to destroy himself? Nobody would do that, especially after Yaakov Avinu. I mean, it sounds like he's going down in order to get something bad for himself. And even though Lavan was unsuccessful in trying to destroy him, the Machshav is considered like a Maisa, etc. But why would Yaakov go down to Lavan to be destroyed? And he was just assured by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right before he went to Lavan, he was assured by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, you're going to go there, everything's going to be okay. Remember, that's when he had the dream with the Sulam and the ladder. And he knew everything was going to be okay. And I don't understand, didn't his parents tell him to go to Lavan? It's not that Yaakov was going to destroy himself. He was going in order to do what his parents told him to do after HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to it and said, you're right, this is where you should go. And it obviously was with a plan to go up to Lavan Arami. I mean, this wasn't to destroy himself. He wasn't ready to just take himself down. So what exactly was this? So now, in order to explain the Sifri, we have to go into exactly what happened during that time. What exactly was going on and what were we doing? Yaakov went to Lavan to pull out Kedusha, to grab holiness out of Lavan. And here's how it is. This is the way of all tzaddikim. They get Kedusha out of the most tamei places that you can imagine. All it takes is to make a bracha. And all of a sudden you're able to pull out the holiness out of any tummy thing that's out there. Anything that's disgusting, anything that's horrible. By making a bracha rishon or a bracha avon, you're able to pull that out from where it is. You have a desire to go sit and learn in the middle of a park somewhere. Then there's something there, there's some bit of kedusha that's there, that if you learn correctly, you can pull that kedusha and bring it to yourself. That's the way of tzaddikim. The Ben Ish Chai said, that's why throughout the Gemara, you'll always see the word shakli ba'azli. That these Talmidei Chacham, these Rabbanim, were shakli v'azli. Literally, it means they took as they went. What does that mean? It means they walked somewhere. But taking as they went means as they walked somewhere, they took the Kedusha out of the Makom, they took the Kedusha out of that place and grabbed it for themselves and kept it for themselves wherever they were. Great tzaddikim have that koach to be able to do so. Aram had a crazy amount of Kedusha. This was the area where Adam Rishon was born, and this is the area where Adam Rishon lived at some point in his lifetime. There were two tipos, two drops of Kedusha that Adam Rishon had that were grabbed by the Satan, taken by the Satan himself, and made to be something within the non-Jewish world. And those two drops became Rachel and Leah. Those were the tzaddikim that were grabbed by the Satan and brought over to the side of Tumah, to the side of the Sitra Akra, to that other side, yeah. Rivka is also supposed to be. I don't know where she went with all this. Absolutely no idea. But this is what they bring down. That the Satan had grabbed these. This is from the Chidah. And they had all those. There were other Neshamos there. The Dor HaMabel, the generation that was destroyed by the Mabel, later on became the Dor HaPlaga. That Dor HaPlaga later on became Dor Sodom. And that Dor Sodom later on became the Sheep of Lavan. All of those Neshamos from the Mabel became the Dor HaPlaga, those people that had argued with the huge tower. They later on became the Neshamos that were all of Sodom, and Sodom was destroyed. Those Neshamos then went into the sheep that Lavan owned. So the sheep that Lavan owned were tremendously kadosh, and they were full of these tremendous sites of Kedusha, and they were under the powers, you can say, of the Satan, under the powers of the Yetzer Hara, and that's what it meant, that they were all there by Lavan himself. They needed a tikkun. They needed some type of a fixing up in order to become something great. We all know what happened to Rachel and Leah, that Yaakov grabbed them. The sheep of Lavan that Yaakov Vinu took with them were the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. That was Bnei Yisrael. There were supposed to be 600,000 sheep for the 600,000 neshamos that are going to enter Klal Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim. That was supposed to be the idea of what Yaakov was doing when he was with Lavan. It wasn't stomp, just go to Lavan to go get married because his parents told him to do so. He had a purpose in going to Lavan, to bring out that Kedusha, to marry Rachel and Leah. His plan was always to marry both Rachel and Leah. But he had an interesting plan. His plan when originally going down there, it's never known this way. His plan when originally going down to Rachel and Leah was, he knew Rachel was going to die very early. Rachel was going to die early, and he knew that. He saw it when he first saw Rachel. He kissed Rachel, and after he kissed Rachel, he cried. Because he saw in a Nebuah, says Rashi, that she was going to die, and he was going to bury her on the side of the road. His plan was, I'm going to marry Rachel first, have six children, half of the Shvatim, and then after that, Rachel will die at some point. I'll bury Rachel, and then I'll go back and I'll marry Leah. Because although you're not allowed to marry two sisters during their lifetimes, but you can marry one sister and then marry another sister after that first sister dies. I will thus marry Rachel, and then I'll be able to marry Leah. By Leah, I'll have the other six children. There will be no jealousy between the children. Because the six children from Rachel will understand who they are. The six children from Leah will understand who they are. And he thought to himself, that's the perfect plan. If I marry Rachel and then Leah, I won't be over any surim of Akos Isha, even in the least bit. There won't be any problems whatsoever. I'll have done everything I'm supposed to do, and that was his plan. Lavan messed him over. Lavan decided to give him Leah first. Even though he wanted to marry Rachel first and then that. And once he had Leah, he knew he couldn't wait for Leah to die in order to marry Rachel because Rachel was going to die first. So he didn't know what to do now. So I can't have Rachel not marry me. I have to make sure that some of the Shvatim come from her. Yeah, so he has to marry both at the exact same time.
Marry somebody just because you know you're supposed to.
And that's where he had to come up with the idea of this concept of, I have a chiyuv to fulfill my word, because I promised Rachel I would marry her, and I don't have a chiyuv to keep the mitzvah of Akos Isha, the lo saseh of Akos Isha, because that's something that was never commanded to him yet. It was something he was keeping out of his own seichel, out of his own mind. I shouldn't marry two sisters. He said, a mitzvah of promising somebody I'm going to marry them, versus a possible lo saseh that will come from my great-great-grandchildren much later on in time, I'm going to go ahead and marry Rachel and Leah together. So he did do that. So it seemed that Lavan had that plan. Lavan had a plan to go the opposite way. He realized that Yaakov was trying to pull the Kedusha out of Aram. And he said, I'm going to mess over that Kedusha. I'm going to make you marry Leah so that we keep Rachel, so that eventually Rachel will have to marry Esav. That was the plan of Lavan, to be able to mess over Yaakov in that way. But of course, Yaakov understood that he had to marry Rachel as well. So he took Rachel, he took Leah, and Lavan agreed, thinking that now he was over on an Avera, something that was usher for him to do, something that's going to be great. But this was tremendous. It caused Yaakov, even through this marriage of Leah and Rachel, in that order, to now add on two other people to his harem, so to speak. Bilhah and Zilpah. Where did Bilhah and Zilpah come from? Strange people. Middle of nowhere. There were also sisters of Rachel and Leah, according to the Medrash. There were also two other sisters from a different mother of Laban. There were sisters as well. Bilhah joined in with Rachel, and Zilpah joined in with Leah, and those sisters were brought in as well, and Yaakovina married them as well. All of a sudden, Yaakovina was able to have Shvatim not only from Rachel and Leah, but also from Bilhah and Zilpah. There was an added little bit of Kedusha. If you take the first letters of Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah, the first letters spell out Barzel. What these are, what the Emos were supposed to stand for, was his power to be able to defeat Esav. Barzel is the power, the iron sword, that concept of something that's harsh, that you're supposed to use to destroy other people. That concept was exactly what Yaakov needed to bring to Kedusha in order to defeat Esav. Up until that time, he only had Rachel and Leah. He knew he was only going to have Rachel, and he thought that would be enough. Apparently, the plan was that he had to have all of them to be able to take the full Barzel, to be able to destroy everything that was Esav's Koach. And now, all of a sudden, he was able to have more Kedusha. So thus says the Chidah, the line of Arami Oved Avi, is not that Laban tricked my father, or destroyed my father, or brought my father down. It's just the opposite. He wanted to destroy my father. He planned on destroying my father. He thought that marrying Leah and then Rachel was going to mess him over. And granted, it seems that there were some mess-ups because of the fights that went down between the Shvatim. They were only because of that. But if you look at it, it's really Arami was Oved destroyed because of Avi. If you look at it, it should be Arami Oved Le'Avi. The Arami destroyed to my father. He caused the destruction to my father, but it's not that way. It's Arami was destroyed from my father. Why? Because Yaakov was able to take out Bilhah, Zilpah, Rachel, and Leah, take all the Kedusha out of Aram, leaving them with absolutely nothing, and that explains the Sifri. That Yaakov only went down to Mitzrayim, Le'Oved, to destroy everything that was there, to knock down all the Kedusha, I should say knock down, to bring in all the Kedusha that Aram had, and take it for himself. That was his plan, that was his idea, that's what he wanted to do, and this is exactly what he was able to accomplish at the end of his life. That was what he was able to do when he left Aram. He destroyed Laban, knocked down his Kedusha, took away everything from him, brought it with him to go to Eretz Yisrael, and brought in the Barzel, the ability to be able to do it. This was the same concept of what would happen when Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim. They didn't go down to Mitzrayim Stam, just to go down to Egypt for no reason. Yosef says, I'm Yosef, Ha'ura V'Chai. And everybody's like, oh, let's go down to Egypt. Bring Yosef here. Yosef's the king. Yosef can do whatever he wants. Why couldn't Yosef go to Eretz Canaan instead of Yaakov going down? And Yosef tells him, come down to Mitzrayim. What was he doing? Because Yosef also had a plan. Remember that Yosef had the same powers as Yaakov Avinu. He looked like Yaakov Avinu and he acted like Yaakov Avinu. And just like Yaakov Avinu took away the Kedusha from Aram, Yosef had an awesome plan. He sat there and he made a crazy rule. He said the rule was, whoever wanted to buy food in Mitzrayim have to come to me. You have to buy it directly from my hands. Isn't that weird? So some Rishonim say the reason why he did it was simply put, he did it so that everybody would go to him and eventually he'd find the Shvatim when the Shvatim came down. He'd see his brothers and he'd come up with this whole thing, tricking them into coming down, etc., etc., etc. That's one way of looking at it. But now we have an unbelievable shot. Yosef HaTzadik made the people come to him, said he would take the coins from their hand, and as they gave him the coins, he would transfer their Kedusha to him himself. He took all the Kedusha, not only out of Egypt, but all the Kedusha of all the surrounding lands. Anybody who needed food, anybody who needed anything, came to Yosef, brought him money, and gave him their Kedusha. And Yosef took that Kedusha and placed it on the coins. On the coins that they had in Mitzrayim, the treasure houses that Yosef HaTzadik made, those treasures, all the gold and the silver and everything else he had, was all the Kedusha of the entire world placed inside the coins in his treasure houses. That's why Bnei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, had to take the treasures of Mitzrayim. That's why they had to borrow their gold of the Egyptians, the silver of the Egyptians, all the different things. They took it out to bring all that Tumah into Kedusha. That was the plan that Yosef HaTzadik had. And this is the idea of why we're connecting them together. That Arami Oved Avi, the point of Yaakov, going down to Aram to destroy Laban, is the exact same reason why they agreed to go down to Mitzrayim. To destroy the Tumah that's there by taking away the Kedusha. And doesn't that explain very, very well why as soon as they left Mitzrayim, 49 days, they were able to go from the 49th level of Tumah to the highest level of Kedusha to receive the Torah, Matan Torah? Is that crazy? How in the world did they go that quickly, that fast? The answer is because they took over all the Kedusha that was in Mitzrayim. At Bizas Yamsuf, when they took all the treasures that were there in the Yamsuf, there was a tremendous amount of Kedusha in there. They grabbed it for themselves, took it in for themselves, and all of a sudden they were unbelievably Kadosh. They were able to make themselves holier. And because of that, they were able to go straight to Har Sinai, become these holy people that was never understood. And that plan could have brought the ultimate redemption. That could have brought Mashiach, could have brought all Kedusha. It would have brought all the Kedusha in one place, and we would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, and that would have been it. Unfortunately, the Egel Azov destroyed those plans. Egel Azov destroyed everything that they had done. But that's the idea behind what he was trying to do and what he had. The Chassam Sofer adds on that Yaakov also had a different idea behind what he was trying to do. And Yaakov Avinu, his idea was to be Mekarev Lavan. His idea was to make him into a Baal Tshuva. To take Lavan, turn him into a Baal Tshuva, and do something with him, and that's the concept. If you remember, I'm sure you all do, I mean, how could you forget something like this? In Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk He, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk He, when Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka are convincing Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim, it says, Vayishlach Yitzchak is Yaakov. Yitzchak sent Yaakov, Vayilach Paden Arami, went to Paden Arami, Lavan ben Besuol Arami, to Lavan, the son of Besuol Arami, Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Aim Yaakov Ve'esav. The mother of Yaakov Ve'esav. Just in case you were confused who Rivka was. You just have a whole parsha on who Rivka is. Now all of a sudden you're saying she's the mother of Yaakov and Esav. So you look to, who do you look at? Rashi. Right? You look at Rashi. Rashi says, by Ein Yaakov Ve'esav, one of the classic lines, Eini Yodea Mamalam Deinu. I have no idea what this is teaching us. That's pretty good, right? The question we always ask on Rashi is, why bother telling us then? Just don't write anything. What does that mean, Eini Yodea Mamalam Deinu? What are you trying to tell us? The Musar Vort is, okay, there's obviously a question. I don't know what to say. There were no other questions that Rashi had, in which he said, in which he said, Eini Yodea Mamalam Deinu, why there? Says the Maskil Ladovit. It's such an unbelievable pshat on Rashi. Eini Yodea Mamalam Deinu was what Yitzchak told Yaakov. Yaakov turned to Yitzchak and said, okay, you're sending me to Lavan. What kind of a guy is Lavan? So he said, you know, all children go after the brothers of the mother. All children go after the brothers and the mother. The problem is, you have two children here, Yaakov and Esav. One is really, really good. One is really, really evil. And there's only one brother, Lavan. I have no idea what Lavan is. Because he's Ein Yaakov Ve'esav, Eini Yodea, says Yitzchak Avinu. I don't know, Mamalam Deinu, what that teaches us. I don't know if Yaakov Avinu is good, if Lavan is good. I don't know if Lavan is bad. I have absolutely no idea. So Yaakov went down thinking he's in the middle. He's in the middle. He's in between me and Esav. He's not as bad as Esav. He's not as good as me. So I'll go down there. I'll be Mekarev him. But what happened? Went down to Lavan. Says the Chassam Sofer, he wasn't able to do a thing. He wasted all his time when he went down to Lavan. There was not a single thing that he did to be able to improve Lavan, to make him into a better person. So what happened? In the end, Lavan wasn't convinced. And Rachel took things into her own hands. She didn't want her father to be punished for wasting Yaakov Avinu's time. 20 years he spent by Lavan, and Lavan wasn't convinced one iota to become Frum. Unbelievable, no? Absolutely unbelievable. 20 years with the Gadol Ador, and he's not convinced at all. After all the work that he's done, after all the Siyata Dishmaya that he's seen, nothing convinced him. He looks at it and says, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And that's Lavan. So Rachel Avinu didn't want it to be punished for that waste of time. So what did she do? She stole his idols and brought them away, so that at least you could stop Lavan from doing idol worship. At least Lavan has improved in one way. But what did Lavan do? Ran after them and destroyed Rachel's entire plan. That was the concept of what Rachel had come up with. That's why she had a heter to be able to do such a thing. But let's do other connections between Lavan and Mitzrayim. There is the famous one. Everybody knows that Lavan is Bilam. Lavan ended up becoming Bilam later on in life. It's Yonas and Nuzil on Parshas Pinchas. It's also brought down by the Ndat of the Canaan earlier by Parshas Toldos. Lavan is Bilam. There are some opinions that Lavan is Beor, who's the father of Bilam, but Lavan is Bilam. If Lavan is Bilam, then you have a great connection. Arami Obiravi, Lavan Arami wanted to destroy Yaakovinu, wasn't successful, so what did he do? Vayered Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim to become Bilam to destroy us when we were down there on Mitzrayim. So Vayered Mitzrayim is not referring to Bnei Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim, it's referring to Lavan going down to Mitzrayim. That's number one. Number two, Rav Moshe says, when Yaakov Avinu was with Lavan, he was able to do 613 mitzvos. Stop, as a side note, it is a little bit weird that he said, I did 613 mitzvos, when he clearly was over on Achos Isha. I mean, that's a killer. That's an absolute killer. So if you want to say that I kept, well, I could keep I could keep Afusisha because I'm not able to keep the mitzvahs in Chutzal Aretz. But he said, I kept 613 mitzvahs. How can you say you keep 613 mitzvahs and then do Afusisha? That already is a strange trap, but there's answers to that. I have 7 answers to that. That's just something to keep in mind. Just one of the simple ones is that he never was over on Afusisha because by Gerim, Gershon Isgar Katan Shinoa Dami. So they were never really related to one another because both Rachel and Leah were on Isgar, which means both of them were mutter to him because they're not really sisters anymore. So in that case, he was never over on Achos Isha. That's one of the answers. There's a bunch. There's a ton of answers that go for this. But Reb Moshe says that by the Taryag Mitzvah Zalavim, he saw that he was able to keep 613 mitzvahs by Lavim, and he realized from there, listen, I don't know if I would have sent my kids down to Mitzrayim, because I don't know if I lived by Lavim, and I messed up, and I did something bad for sure. If they went down to Mitzrayim, they would do something bad. But I was able to go to Lavim and keep 613 mitzvahs. For sure, they could go down to Mitzrayim, and they'll be able to also keep them 613 mitzvahs. He wasn't worried. Now that he saw that around the Obed Avi, that Lavan Arami tried to destroy him and wasn't successful, and not only that, but Yaakov was able to keep all 613, he said, I can go down to Mitzrayim with my kids and I'm not worried that they're going to screw it up. That's what he ended up saying. He almost lost that bet, because after 210 years, we know they were on the 49th level of Tumah and almost couldn't come out. And they almost had gone down to the level where they couldn't come out of Mitzrayim. But that's the idea that Reb Moshe says. Just barely they were able to make it out from that. Yaakov Uveini also says that Lavan was the most powerful magician to have ever existed. He was 20 times better than Bilam, than everything that Bilam had. He was greater in Kishuf, in all these types of magics, than Bilam could ever profess to be. He had the kochos of Shor and Chamor. Those are the two kochos that he had. That means the Tuma, Shor, is referring to Esav. Chamor is referring to Yishmael. And he had both of those kochos of Tuma, and he wanted to add on Tzon, the sheep of Tuma. And that's what Yaakov Avinu came along and said, I have my own Shor, that's Yosef Tzadik, I have my own Chamor, that's Yisachar, and he took the zone of Lavan to be able to grab all the tumah that he had and take it into Kedusha. Through that schutz, that Yaakov Avinu was able to take it away, that around the Obed Avi, and he was able to survive, we were able to go down to Mitzrayim and not be affected by their Kishuf, by their magics or anything like that. I have another idea. I'm sorry? Which is also sheep, exactly. That they were able to sacrifice the sheep at the very end of the day. It's a very, very good call. I have another pshat based on Miyam Loez. Miyam Loez says that Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim in order to learn Kishuf. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Yud Dalet Amud Beis, I'm sorry, that Avraham Avinu had 400 prakim to his Masechta of Avodah Zarah. You know how many prakim we have in our Avodah Zarah? 5. We're missing 395 chapters of our Gemara Avodah Zarah. And it stinks, because that's probably some really awesome stuff. The actual Gemara is awesome in and of itself. Missing 395 prakim. This is Daf. 395 prakim of what Avodah Zarah was all about. I can't imagine what's inside there. But Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, originally with Sari Imenu, in order to gain from their knowledge of Avodah Zarah, so that he would have the full knowledge of Avodah Zarah, so he'd be able to fight all that Avodah Zarah stood for. He went down to do it. Josephus says, when he went down to Mitzrayim, he brought them mathematics and astronomy, and traded them for their powers of magic. So that he would know what they knew, and they would know what he knew. And that's where they came up with the ideas, could be, of the pyramids. Because the pyramids is a tremendous mathematical equation, and it could be they figured it out from something that Avraham Avinu gave to them. I have no idea. It was just a Tana. From there. Yeah, no, he wrote way before. He wrote a whole parish on the Torah. The difference is just, it's a Tanoic parish on the Torah. It does work out very, very well with the ideas that the pyramids were created way before Bnei Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim to be enslaved. If they did that, it was supposed to be 800 years earlier. It's round at the time that Avraham would have been there. A little bit earlier than Avraham, you know, but around that time is exactly when Avraham, you know, would have gone down to Mitzrayim and given them that Chochmah. That would have been an unbelievable type of connection. If that's true, then I have another idea. Yaakov Avinu might have gone to Lavan to do the exact same thing. He went to Lavan to learn all that he could about Avodah Zarah, the same way that Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim to do that. So he went down to be able to find out as much Kishuv as he possibly could, to do as much as he could down in Mitzrayim. He went to Lavan to find out Kishuv, but he wouldn't give it to him. Lavan gave him nothing. Lavan sat there and wouldn't give him any Kishuv whatsoever, wouldn't teach him anything that he needed to know. So therefore, Yaakov had to go down to Mitzrayim. So because Arami Obed Avi, Arami made my father lose out on the Chochmah of Kishuv and wouldn't teach him anything, therefore, by Yerid Mitzrayim. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. That's another one. The Sama Rebbe, though, takes the cake. There's nothing like the Sama Rebbe. It's one of my favorite votes of all time. Arami Obed Avi by Yerid Mitzrayim is the following. Okay, how did Rami Ovidavi, how did Laban trick my father? Well, he brought out the sheep. And he said, okay, any sheep that's born, right, that's going to be brown, you get to keep. And any white sheep, I get to keep. All the sheep that were born were brown. So he said, okay, switching around. I'll take all the brown and the white sheep, you take all the black sheep. Okay, so all the sheep that were born were black. He said, no. I'll take the black, and the white sheep. You take all the spotted sheep. All the sheep that were born were spotted. Right? And he said, then the striped sheep. And went on and on and on until finally came down to where he said, you'll take all the females, I'll take all the male sheep, and that's how it's going to be. Now Yaakov couldn't have any kids.
I didn't have to get in writing after a certain point.
I think Sarah's Monim, who says whatever the wording of the pasuk is, Yaakov was a tum, an ish tum. You don't want to get involved in things like this. He took whatever he got. He took what a Kodesh Baruch Hu
gave.
Called
out.
But no, he kept getting them and then losing any of the future sheep. Meaning Lavan said, I'll give you, fine, you took all those, now I'm getting all the future black sheep, etc. At the end of the day, Yaakov got all the female sheep, Lavan got all the male sheep. So now, what's Yaakov going to do? Yaakov had a dream. And in the dream, he sees a malach strip a stick, take these strips around the stick, take off parts of the bark, and stick it in the water. Yaakov Inu did that, took these sticks, stuck them in the water, and when the female sheep went to go drink from the water, they became impregnated by the water. It's a Pashat Rashi. They became impregnated by drinking from the water. The sheep that were born were thus water sheep. They weren't regular sheep, they were water sheep. They never had a male that impregnated them. It was water sheep. There's a halacha. If an animal is on land, in order to get shechted, it needs two simanim, the esophagus and the windpipe. If it's a bird in the air is different from the land. The air is a little bit more kadosh. You only need one siman shechita. One siman shechita is either the esophagus or the windpipe, one of the two. If it's in the water, which is even more kadosh, you don't need any siman shechita. Fish are allowed to be eaten even when they're alive. Just bal tishak, so it's disgusting. So you can find a way around it being disgusting. You're allowed to eat a fish alive. There's no problem with that because that's what water is. Okay. You ready for this? These were the sheep, the water sheep, were the sheep that Bnei Yisrael later on were watching for their father in the grasslands of Eretz Yisrael. Yosef and the Shvatim got into a fight. The Shvatim were eating aver mina chai, limbs from live animals. Said the Shvatim, it's mutter, it's water sheep. There's no problem. These sheep, you're allowed to eat them alive. You're allowed to take parts of the animal while they're still alive. There's no issue with it. They're not like regular animals. They're like fish. So therefore, it's mutter. Said Yosef, it's out of his marat ayin. People don't realize that. They think that you're eating from regular sheep. They think you're eating from Abram and Achai, so it's usher to do it. They got into the fight. Yosef Atzadik told it over to Yaakov. And Yaakov agreed with Yosef and said, it is marat ayin. You guys should stop it. They got mad at him. What did they do? Sold him down to Mitzrayim. So because Arami Oved Avi, because Yaakov was tricked by Lavan into getting the water sheep, therefore, Vayered Mitzrayim. All the Shvatim, everybody ended up going down to Mitzrayim. That's the concept, that's the connection from one place to the other. There is another drush over here. The other drush over here is that Arami is not referring to Jastam, it's referring to the Yetzer Hara. That the Yetzer Hara, it's a remnant to this whole world. And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that in Olam Haba, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask you why you didn't learn enough Torah. And you're going to say, Arami Ovid Avi! Arami, the Yetzer Hara destroyed my neshama. I wasn't able to do anything. And Avi is referring to myself, my own neshama, or my connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I wasn't able to connect to God because the Arami was around. If you would have taken away my Yetzer Hara, then I always would have been able to daven. I always would have been fine. But because that happened, I wasn't able to do it. And he says even further, Avi is referring to Adam Rishon, my original father. The Yetzer Hara tricked Adam Rishon into doing something wrong. That's what brought Misa into the world and bad things into the world. So that's original sin, so to speak, is something that killed us forever. That's the concept. That's a Rami Ovid Avi, and that's what it's referring to. Rav Shur says he makes us completely feel like we have no connection to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. That a Rami Ovid Avi makes us feel like we lost our father, referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chiddush Orim adds, if you act like a Ramai, you act like an Arami, then Ovid Avi, you will have lost your father. You have lost your schus avos and everything you have. And the Maaseh Shiloach, the Ishbitzer says that Avi is referring to your pure neshama. That any worries and issues that you have, that Arami, if you think you're wrong about something or another, Ovid Avi, that makes you lose any real das, any real ideas that you might have inside your head. It'll all be truly lost. But one issue that we have to end off with is, it's all great. Arami Ovid Avi is a tremendous word. What in the world does this have to do with Pesach? Why do we stand on the night of the Seder? Why in the world, on the night of the Seder, do we go around and we say, Arami Ovidavi, Bayerg Mitzrayim, Bayergo Shambim Stimahot, Bayisham Lagoy Gadol Tzum Varov? What's going on there? What does this have anything to do with Pesach? Spot down, this is a cute answer, that matzah is called Lechem Oni. And over here it says, V'yon Nisa V'yamarta. And he says the whole idea of Pesach is that we went out, we weren't able to daven correctly to a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, that's when we had the power of speech. That's why at Kriyas Yamsuf, the first thing we did was sing to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We were able to get our voice back, so to speak. The Anisa of Yamarta is to say out loud to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you helped us so much that when you feel that you're free, you feel like you did something right, that's when you sing to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and you thank Him for everything that's there. That's the concept, that's the connection between the two. That this parsha, which is singing to God and thanking Him for everything we've done, is connected to Pesach, where we're freed from all the shackles of the Yitzhar and from Paro and Mitzrayim. But Rav Wolfson has a tremendously powerful idea. The Zohar says that Yitzias Mitzrayim, leaving Mitzrayim, is mentioned 55 times in the Torah. 50 times. Now they ask, it's more than 50 times. If you look up Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, it mentions it more than 50 times in the Torah. But they say it's 50 times l'shvach. 50 times that it's mentioned in a positive, I guess you could say, reaction. In which we're saying, we left Mitzrayim, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 50 times in which that so says Rav Wolfson. This, right here, is the last mention of Mitzrayim. This over here, where we go to our mitzvah, by Yerid Mitzrayim, by Yerid Mitzrayim, by Yerid Mitzrayim, by Yerid Mitzrayim, Hashem Elokei, was going to be Yotzeyenu Hashem Mitzrayim, by Yerid Mitzrayim. This one is the last one. Says the Zohar, the reason why there's 50 mentions of Yotzeyas Mitzrayim, is because Yotzeyas Mitzrayim can lead us to the 50th Shar of Kedusha, the 50th gate of Kedusha, the highest level of Kedusha there could possibly be. Says Rav Wolfson, if that's so, then the 50th time it mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim must be the 50th level of Kedusha. It must be that in this place we're revealing the 50th level of Kedusha. And that if you read it correctly, this tells you everything you need to know to have a pure Geula, to be able to leave this Geulus and to get out of all of Mitzrayim, everything that Mitzrayim stands for, and all of your Taivas and everything. This is it. This is what you have to read. And if you darshan it correctly, you'll understand how it applies to you in your everyday circumstances, that you can have a future Geula and that everything will happen through you. He says that's the reason why Kisavo is the 50th Parsha in the Torah. Number 50. There's 54 Parshios in the Torah. After this comes Nitzavim, Vayelech, Hazinu, and Zos Avracha. Which means that Kisavo is number 50. Because this stands for the 50th Shar. That's why we can go through the Tochacha, all the curses in this week's Parsha. Because only if you're on such a high level can you go through the crazy Tochacha. Now granted there was a Tochacha before, but it was nothing like this Tochacha. This is horrible, all the crazy things that happen at Klal Yisrael. This Tochacha can only be said to Klal Yisrael because we're on the 50th level. And that's why only Hazinu, Parsha Hazinu, where nobody understands a blessed word. Nobody has any clue what's going on there. 620 letters of the strangest ideas you've ever heard before in your life. That's all it is. Hazinu can only be mentioned after you go through the 50th Shar. After you're already in that 50th level. Vayotzienu Hashem Mimitzrayim, God took us out of Mitzrayim, is the same gematria, 625, as Sha'ar Hanun. The 50th gate. That's the concept. Because now we're in that 50th call. And that's why we don't use the Pesukim in Shmos. Because in Shmos it was still when we were in Mitzrayim. It's like we're still in there. We're not on that level anymore. We're beyond that. We're beyond the tumah that we were in Mitzrayim. Now we're in the level of Kedusha. We're in the 50th level of Kedusha. And therefore we have to say it mefurish. We have to speak out something that's more explicit. Explicitly Kadosh. And that's this week's Parsha. And that's why it's specifically Arami Ovidavi. Why Lavan? Why connect that to Lavan? Bilam is Lavan, as we said before. Bilam had his own Matan Torah. The Yalkut Rabbeinu says that when Bnei Yisrael spent 49 days up until Matan Torah on Shavuos, Bilam had 49 days in the Harei Choshech. He went to the mountains of darkness, met up with the Shamchazai and Azoyel, who were two huge malachim that were shadim in some way, shape, or form, learned Kishuv to the point where he got his own Matan Torah of Tumah. And that's where he became Bilam, the well-known Bilam the Cursor. That's where he became that person that was even more powerful after he left Mitzrayim. And because of that, we understand that Lavan is on the other side. Lavan is the 50th level of Tumah. So Arami, who had the 50th level of Tumah, Obed Avi tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu. For those who understand, Yaakov Avinu was on that 50th level. Yaakov was coal. Although Avram Avinu was Bakol, Yitzchak Avinu was Mikol, Ba'uchal Mikol, Yaakov Avinu was Kol, Yesh Li Kol. I have everything. Kol is the gematria of 50. That Yaakov Avinu had absolutely everything, that's how he was able to destroy. Yaakov Avinu was not destroyed by Lavan. Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov Avinu. By Yerid Mitzrayim, we went down to Mitzrayim, got to the 50th level of Kedusha, were able to leave, lost it, unfortunately, with Ego Azov, and our job now is to find the Kedusha within the Tumah surrounding us, bring out that Kedusha, bring it back to us, bring ourselves back to that 50th level of Kedusha, and bring ourselves back to our Yisrael. It's a formidable feat. I mean, this is not something you can just do like off the cuff, to find that Kedusha and bring it back, but it's there. All it takes is a bracha. All it takes is a little bit of learning or a little bit of tefillah, wherever you are in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden you bring yourself to that 50th level. We should be zocheh to get ourselves to that level. The summary is, Yaakov's plan to go to Lavan was to be mevar and nitzos, to take the Kedusha out from Lavan. The connections between Lavan and Mitzrayim, we mentioned five of them. The remez to the Yitzhar and Anasham and the Tzchosavos and the connection to Hashem is lost. And this Parsha and Seder night, what this is doing on Pesach and what we're supposed to be doing, connecting this to Pesach, the idea that we're saying we're on the 50th level of Kedusha on that night, and to find ourselves in that night. You guys have a great Shabbos, and again, I am